All right. Welcome to the second Technicast that we've had. I am Chris Moffitt, and I'm here with my co-host this time, Chloe Tuck.
Hey, everybody.
And we're here with our guest tonight, or this morning, sorry, is Bolton Anthony.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, and Bolton is, he founded Second Journey back in 1999. It was a social change organization whose shared mission was to birth a new vision of the rich possibilities of later life. He's also an editor for, he edited the book Second Journeys, The Dance of Spirit in Later Life. That was published back in 2013. It was a collection of essays and poems. He's also written other books, Reimagining Your Neighborhood, Transforming Car-Centric Housing Developments into Vibrant, Verdant, Sustainable Communities. And he's also recently written an autobiography, The Given Life, One Catholic Life in Context, that was published later last year. He's also worked as an English and creative writing teacher and professor. He's worked as a librarian and a university administrator. So we're kind of just want to know, what was kind of your impetus for, I guess, starting Second Journey? And just give us a little more information about the organization.
That's kind of a long story. I was finishing in 1999. I was finishing very intense 6 years of work in the racial reconciliation in Wilmington, North Carolina, that commemorated an 1898 riot. And there was an inkling to do something that over the last 12 years before that I had kind of followed, and then I got a real job and put it on the shelf, and that happened a couple of times, and I realized at 55, which is what I was in 99, I had one more dance on my midlife dance card, and if I didn't explore what that impulse was about, it just wouldn't happen. Second Journey kind of grew out of that exploration. It was sort of about imagining different kinds of places that were centers for conversation, but it was also about the possibility that the incredible longevity revolution that we had in the last 40 years was really an opportunity to think differently and to tap human resources that the world had not had. We'd had, of course, elders, individuals, but we'd never had a generation of elders. We'd never had the kind of human capital that we have now. And what was the potential of that? So that's sort of the open-ended query that I started with.
That's great. So you worked in several different areas of publishing. So like Chris said, an English and creative writing teacher and professor, a public librarian, a university administrator. So after having worked in all of these different facets of it, what's your favorite part? And what have you learned from each?
Well, the catalog you threw out didn't include a lot of publishing. The publishing started once I had started the nonprofit. And I guess within 2 or 3 years at the most, started a quarterly newsletter, which got increasingly elaborate. The catalyst for actually moving from the quarterly newsletter to a book publication was when a fellow named Ted Rozak, who had in 1969 done the first history of the baby boomer generation with a book called The Making of a Counterculture, came to me. He had followed Second Journey, and between The Making of a Counterculture when he talked to me, he had published 20 books, was known as the father of eco-psychology, and came to me because he said, I have a new book called The Making of an Elder Culture, and nobody wants to publish it. They tell me people don't want to read about being old, and if they even wanted to read about it, they still wouldn't buy the book. So would you publish it online as part of the... we did it in installments, and at the end of it, ended up producing a hardcover of it, and also succeeding in selling the rights of it to New Society Press. It was such fun to produce the book that I took a sort of next step. We were doing a year-long series, four quarterly editions of The Spirituality of Later Life. And I ended up producing a little 100-page pamphlet from each of those, like the Writing as a Spiritual Practice, Quest for Elderhood. Anyway, four nice little colorful brochures. And so the next step beyond that was, well, you know, why not pull that in a coherent whole? So we did the book I pulled together, Second Journey, The Dance of Spirit and Later Life. And we kept branching out. And I kept enjoying it, both the delight of designing. I never designed the cover, but I designed the interior. And you know, it just led on. Now, the last thing I wrote, the autobiography, was really kind of a swan song. It was closure to 17 years of work. And in some ways, it was the impulse you get at later life to do life review, to leave a legacy. I'm not sure any of my five kids have read it.
They will.
Yeah. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
It's have on them listen to this list. And yeah. It'll make them read it. It'll make them feel bad and they'll read it.
And as I was writing it, it was coming so well. I wrote a 250-page book in 6 months, 12-hour days, and it just was like pulling the words down, and it flowed so beautifully. It was such a pleasure. So it's a kind of closure to years of work.
So, and you said that you kind of didn't get into publishing and really thinking about writing until later in life, once you started the nonprofit. What do you think? Do you think it would have been easier to write it 20 years ago, or do you think it's kind of easier for somebody to publish now? I know you've also said that sort of marketing plays a role. Do you think people should kind of write what they want to write, and you know, just kind of get the enjoyment out of it? Or
well, the thing I realized, partly as a result of the writing, it was, in fact, I've been writing my whole life. Writing, you know, presentations, writing reports. And it was a bit surprising that's served well. I had started wanting to be a short story writer and had kids very quickly and jobs that were very demanding and kind of decided, well, there wasn't enough talent to do that. There wasn't enough time. But the writing was always there. And it, I'm still struggling right now with what is the difference between taking something and turning it into a story. and the other kind of expression that, you know, essays, memoir bring. And I'm not sure they're all that different.
Okay, if we had to ask you about making predictions for the future of publishing or writing, if we had to ask you that, and we're asking you that right now, what would you say?
I would say I'm one of the worst persons to ask that. The problem I've had is I've never cared about the marketing side. And so we've never done much with the sales of things. I didn't need that to find it satisfying. Mm-hmm. The availability or the ability to publish, to self-publish, and we use, for all the books, I've used the CreateSpace, the Amazon Auxiliary subsidiary that is an on-demand publisher. Mm-hmm. And so when you, it costs you absolutely nothing to set the book up. You don't pay for the ISBN. If you purchase anything, the per copy cost is the same. You purchase 100, it's, you know, $2 times 100. You purchase one, it's $2 times one. So you can, you're not risking anything putting it in print. You're not going very far in terms of getting it read, but the satisfaction of putting it in print is very easy. And I don't, you know, I know that the publishing world is being impacted enormously by this availability. You know, I know we have independent booksellers, incredible resource in every community, who look at Amazon as an anathema because, you know, in the book sales, they're driving them out of business. But there's, you know, there's no way we could have served the purpose of our nonprofit, you know, getting stuff into print by depending on an independent commercial publisher.
Right.
So I think at some point, the challenge of marketing is going to, you know, someone's going to start to address that in terms of the on-demand stock of publication. I won't be around for that, but.
So you said that you kind of felt that your autobiography was kind of a little bit of your swan song, but, and that you, just for those that don't know, Second Journey is kind of your, it's ending this year. What I guess maybe does the future hold for you with regards to sort of the writing? Will Second Journey kind of do you have plans for it to maybe reemerge as something else, something smaller, maybe like a blog or something in that style? Or are you kind of just going to kind of go with the flow as you decide?
I took so long in closing it, you know, probably 2 or 3 years. What was happening in my own life was that Second Journey, for most of its existence, was simply a mailbox in Chapel Hill, and our work was, even when we were doing public programs, we were going out to Whidbey Island and north of Seattle and Northern California, and wonderful venues, all of them at the time I wasn't married, all of them places I was thinking, gee, I might like to live there, let's look at it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing anything local, and 2 or 3 years ago, I realized I wasn't obeying the maxim, think globally and act locally. And so I began to do local programs. I began to work in my own neighborhood, and the book Reimagining Your Neighborhood grew out of that. What can you, at that level, practically do to create community? there was a part of me knowing that that work was ending, but I resisted officially ending it because people kept saying, God, you've got the Second Journey website has got over 3,000 files on it. So it's got 10 years of wonderful essays. So the compromise I've made is that we maintain the website. I might, you know, in the future be moved to make it a little more accessible to start to index what's there. But that's the most I want to do. And, you know, the possibility of a blog is just, you know, as mysterious to me as Twitter.
Great. I think I have one last question. What people don't know is how Chris knows you, is that you guys are neighbors, speaking of neighborhoods.
Yeah, we live in the same neighborhood.
How is Chris as a neighbor? Is he a fun neighbor, you know, a good neighbor, the kind of guy who puts his trash out on time?
Well, we haven't looked through his trash.
I see.
I hope that I'm just like a boring neighbor, that I don't do anything interesting.
Chris... You know, Chris is on my good list right now because he's just written an article for the last newsletter that I officially have to produce after 3 years on the board, and he wrote a lot of words, so it filled a lot of space, and I was just pleased.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, again, I want to thank Bolton Anthony for coming in. His autobiography, This Given Life, One Catholic Life in Context, it's available through Amazon. It's also available through his website, boltonanthony.com. Thank you so much for being here and giving us your thoughts and expertise. And in the immortal words of Ray Bradbury, you only fail if you stop writing. Thanks. We'll see you next time.